Hey, Mystic Michaela spiritual family, welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are doing 2024 predictions for celebrities and well-known people. I am going to be looking at their auras, and based on their auras, I'm going to be giving my prediction for what their trajectory is this year. Now, remember, the future is free will. We all make choices. So these are just trajectories based on what I'm seeing, but we're going to have a lot of fun with this today. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. And I have some big predictions. Too, I'm going
to
make on these.
I forgot to mention.
I am getting a lot of psychic feelings. I'm getting a lot of vibes. And yeah, so I got some predictions too I'm going to make. But, you know, last week we talked about raising the vibration and keeping it there.
Yeah.
And that's really my goal for this year. I thought last week's episode was so fascinating. And to understand, I want to learn more about it and continue to understand it better. But yeah, so I'm going to try to raise my vibe. That's my goal. You think I've been doing that so far for the first couple of weeks?
Yeah, because I think you really get it. Because last week we talked about you can't just visit a vibe. That'll bring stuff into your life. But to keep what bring, you have to stay on the vibe. It's really hard to stay on a vibe. Because if you're used to living a certain way, even if it doesn't serve you, you know your way around that vibe. You know, so it's very uncomfortable and awkward and odd to live on a different vibration, even though that's where the things that you want live there. So you have to go live on a different vibe. So that's what I'm working on this year too. It's shifting my vibe and getting used to being uncomfortable with it, you know, but I'm noticing with you, you've been trying to do this.
Yeah. And actually we just did something that did raise the vibe or kept the vibe high. And this was basically because of the Mystic Michaela spiritual family. We do meditations throughout the year. We did the 11-11 in person when everyone came, right? 8-8, I think. And we're going to be doing one on 1-1. I think that's when this episode will air. And we just went down to Peggy Adams Rescue Shelter, which we donate proceeds from those meditations to their shelter. And, you know, we go and we get all the supplies with the kids and we drop it all off. It's a lot of fun. And I feel that's a high vibe thing to do. And also brings up the vibe of the, you know, because I feel the group with us when we do it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I feel like all of you. So if you participated in that meditation that you contributed today, just so you know, and yeah, we're doing one today. That's when this will air on 1-11.
Right.
Yeah. And then we're going to do the same thing.
Right. So then part of that meditation will go to the next drop off that we do.
It really motivates me. And I feel like, working in the collective, you know what? We're going to work together. What choice can we make to do something that's a pay it forward situation? That is a great way to raise your vibration and stay in that vibration.
Right.
So, oh my God, Scott, do you see the light flickering?
I wasn't going to mention it.
That's really weird.
It actually went out for a little bit, and that light never goes out.
That is a weird light to just kind of move around like that.
Yeah, and then it went back on.
That's okay.
I'm actually happy that it went back on, because it's a hard light to fix.
That's weird. But, you know, okay, I was going to tell this story, though, so it's kind of freaking me out that the light's acting like that.
Yeah.
I'm a little freaked out, actually. Okay, well,
me too.
Let me tell you this story. All right, I got to tell you, this happened this week. Well, I put it all together this week, and I didn't even tell you this, Scott. I just told you I wanted to tell the story. All right. So back it up. About a year ago, this actually really freaked me out. A year ago, I got an envelope in the mail, and inside of it was a spell. So it was a key, and it was some, like, loose herbs, and it was, some sort of incantation, like a written spell. And there was no message like who it was from or anything. And I'm like, what is this? And the address from whence it came was a third party witch from Etsy.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, and I looked her up on Etsy, and she's like it's a popular Etsy account or page or whatever. And so someone paid for it. Yeah.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is someone paid to put a spell on?
Yeah. You? Someone paid to put a spell on me.
Yeah, me too. What about me? Was it me too or no?
It was addressed to Mystic Michaela.
Oh, good, good. Okay, so my name was not on it.
Right.
It's just a Mystic Michaela.
Yeah, it said it on the where to address, but there was no.
So someone that has our address.
Yes, it was somebody who had our address, and I was like, what is this? And I'll tell you. And I get all sorts of stuff from people, and this is what I felt funny about. I'm like, this just feels funny. It just felt funny to me. And I love witch stuff. I love Wiccan stuff. It just felt funny to me. And my overall feeling was my higher self said, don't touch it. Don't read the incantation. And I didn't. And it said, somebody sent you this with a good intention, but what they think you need is not what you need. And it just felt like it crossed some sort of weird spiritual boundary.
Where is this?
So this was a year ago, right? So I'm a big believer on things can only bother you or affect you if you buy into it. And that's why I really don't believe in like curses and that kind of, like, I'm like, you know, my spiritual boundaries are good. I'm up, but this got under my skin. So, so because of that, I already felt like a little vulnerable about it. So I'm like, I got in my head and I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, what do I do? How do I get rid of it? Blah, blah, blah. And so I just did the purple aura thing as I shoved it under a bunch of crap in the downstairs bookshelf.
Wait, that's where you put it?
That's where it was for a year.
Okay, I sit next to that bookshelf pretty much every day.
We've been living around that for a year.
Okay, so you're telling me, is this like a spell they put in the jar like I talked about a couple episodes ago where they put it in the jar and then they bind it with urine Ew. And things like that?
No, I don't know. No, it was, I told you it was just a key and like loose herbs and like an incantation.
Oh, okay. So anyways, I've been sitting next to these keys and loose herbs?
Yeah, until like 2 weeks ago, okay?
Okay, good.
When my friend Jenny came over. And Jenny is my friend. She's yellow indigo and she's really into like Reiki.
Yeah, and you guys are on like a same wavelength kind of thing.
Totally.
You guys always like are doing the telepathic
each other. We telepathically speak. Stuff. All
right,
all
but okay.
So bottom line, she gets it. And we were just talking about something else and I saw it out of the corner of my eye, like sticking out of the crap under the bookshelf. And I was like, Jenny, I'm like, this has been bothering me for a year. And I told her the whole thing and she's like, let me see it. And I don't like touching it. So I was still in the envelope. So I dumped it down on the table and she said the same thing I said, like somebody sent this to you with a good intention, but it's not for you. And
so
I'm like,
she has the same feeling.
The same feeling I did. Like this, we can't have this around. And I'm like, what do I don't know how to get rid of it. You know, because I felt like I did. And she's like, we have to bury it. And I'm like, all right. So we take it, and I get my little shovel.
Okay.
And we go in the backyard. And Jenny's like, don't bury it on your property. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, good.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you. You're like, gonna bury it on her property?
I didn't know. I just was like, well there's
first
loose.
You put it right next to me in the living room. Now you're gonna put it in our backyard.
I'm like, oh, okay. And so we go, see, between our house and the neighbor's house, there's like a communal property. You know what?
Right.
You know that part?
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of trees. They're super overgrown. And I just buried a really shallow little grave and I shoved it in there.
Okay.
And I felt better. And Jenny's like, good job. And I'm like, thank you. And then we continued on with our life. A couple days after that, you'll recall.
Yeah.
Somebody, it was so random, they cleared out all the trees in that area.
Yeah, that whole section is gone. Yeah. All the trees.
It's been there for like 12 years. Nobody ever touched it or gardened it or anything. And people randomly came in and cleared it. And we were like, what the heck? Why are they even, what is even happening?
What?
It was super weird.
Yeah, that's
I didn't think about it until last night when I was sitting in front of the house.
Well, it was weird they were cutting all the trees down.
We were weirded out, but I didn't link these two things together until last night.
So you put the spell. You buried
right
the spell like at the base of these trees?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now they're gone.
I know.
Maybe it was like a gone spell or something.
I don't know. I feel terrible.
And then this light has been flickering.
And the light's been flickering. And I'm like, what the heck was that spell about?
This is a powerful witch.
I don't know what. I don't know if this is negative. I don't know if this is positive. I don't know if it's a good thing I did.
I
don't know if it's a bad thing I did. I don't know. I ask the Mystic Mikhail spiritual family, let us know. I need the witches to help me out.
Yeah, I'm gonna
like, what just happened?
I'm pretty much an expert now. I've been watching the Harry Potter series with Abby.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like Slytherin. This sounds like Slytherin written all over it. It's a witch from Slytherin. And why are all the trees gone? And why are the lights flickering?
I know. Well, I watch a lot of Vampire Diaries, and I feel like there's a balance of nature situation happening. So I'm just like really weirded out.
All right.
I had to give it to you guys to tell me what's happening.
Let's ask the page. And I see here the first person we're talking about is Gypsy Rose.
Yeah.
So that's a witch. We're going witch first?
Not quite.
Not quite. All right. Let's do a quick break. We come back. We're going to talk about Gypsy Rose.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. You know how I want to raise my vibration in 2024?
I do.
I want to get rid... You know, I think the easiest way to do it is to get rid of all these subscriptions we have. I am so sick of all the shows we have and all this nonsense.
Well,
I want to get rid of it.
Rocket Money's going to do that for us. It's so many subscriptions. Think about it. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, it is endless. We are both guilty of this. So I am using Rocket Money to help me find out what subscriptions I'm actually spending money on. And I'm going to take that eye-opening process with you to figure out which ones we don't want anymore. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/KYA. That's rocketmoney.com/KYA. rocketmoney.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right. So I think the number one thing people have been wanting to hear a prediction for is the Gypsy Rose situation. So do you know who this is?
I have no idea. I mean, we did the first segment on witches, right. So I thought it was possibly a witch.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know.
She's not. Okay, so Gypsy Rose. So there are documentaries about this because it's just such a fascinating and horrific story. Basically, Gypsy Rose was this little girl and her mom named Dee Dee. Falsely convicted doctors, community members, even Gypsy Rose herself, that she was seriously ill and she wasn't. All right. So this is like a Munchausen by proxy situation where and if I'm saying any of this wrong, it's because this is from my memory. Okay, guys. But like, it's basically where your caregiver makes you sick on purpose for attention. And
so you're saying the mom did this many years ago?
Yeah. So she did this her entire life. Like she kept the little girl Gypsy Rose in a wheelchair, even though she could walk, put her through numerous surgeries. She didn't need isolated her from the world. I think, all these unnecessary surgeries, like horrific stuff. Like when you watch it, you're like, this is disgusting. Disgusting, what this woman did to her baby. Got money from the community, just took in money, lied to everybody. And Gypsy Rose herself, like, she didn't have hair. I mean, she had awful.
And just, again, because I know nothing about this.
Yeah.
This was all in a documentary that we saw this mother do this to this little girl.
Yeah, there's been, I think, a couple documentaries about it. And what happened was when Gypsy Rose, I think she was like 20 or something. And again, I could have like she was past 18.
Okay.
She was stuck at home. She's still living at home, still dealing with all this. And her boyfriend online, she convinced him to come and murder her mom.
Oh.
And so he did. And she got convicted of a second degree or something. And he got convicted of first degree. And then she went to prison. Gypsy Rose went to prison for like 8 years. And the ex-boyfriend now has life without parole or something like that.
Okay. And this at the time was national headlines.
Yeah.
This
because
was, a huge story.
Yeah. She was in the news. Her mom, like this Dee Dee, had Gypsy Rose. I mean, they were in the local news. They were like kind of, if you see the picture, she was dressing her up. They were really playing the part, like this poor little girl with a smile on her face and you know, parading her around like the sick little girl, you know, getting all this attention. And I think it was so disturbing about it is the amount of doctors and that got conned with this as well, and caregivers, and that's it. Like, she got away with it for years. And Gypsy Rose just said in an interview, I'd still be getting abused at this point in my life if I was still in that situation. Like there was no out.
Did the mom ever go to jail or get punished?
No, she got killed. Like, okay, so yeah, still happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I think, and Gypsy, and if you listen, and then it's kind of like, there's what we know happened.
Right.
And then there's what Gypsy's saying.
Exactly.
Too. And at the end of the day, I think we all look at this and we're like, what the heck? Like, we felt, you know, feeling terrible for this little girl from tiny, you know, was she in a good mindset? Did she mean it? You know, when she had her boy, like, enlisted her boyfriend to kill her mom. I mean.
Okay. And just to get, and I guess we'll go through the colors in a second.
Yeah.
But just to get this straight. So this girl, Gypsy.
Yeah.
Hired this.
No, she just convinced him to.
Just convinced someone else outside of the situation to kill the mother.
Yes.
And he was successful in killing the mother.
He like stabbed her.
And then he went to jail?
Yes, he's in jail.
And she went to jail?
Yes.
Okay.
But she just got out like this week.
Oh, so that's why it's
so I'm doing this like she just got out of prison. That's what I'm doing this.
And how long did she get roughly? I don't know.
She had like 8 years.
She had 8. That's it? That's
something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if you look at her situation, like what the mom had put her through, and also I'm assuming people being like, you know, she was in some sort of, she felt trapped still, even though she was past 18 and an adult, she felt trapped. And I think she says that she was, that her mom was saying something about nobody will believe you, or I'll put you in a mental institution, or, and she believed it because her mom had gotten away with this her entire life. Like she was completely right. trapped, and she was like a tool for her. Her mom isolated her from other family members. Dad's not in the picture. He's in the picture, but not like he was isolated. I mean, this is like the power of a mother to do this. And she hurt her kid on purpose.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's sickness.
It's a fascinating story. I mean, for me, and again, I don't know enough information to even make a decision here
right.
or anything
like
that.
If you watch the documentary,
yeah,
like,
I don't know anything about this. Just right off the right. bat, I guess the only being, you know, from my Red Aura perspective,
yeah.
my issue would be more with her bringing this guy in. To
yeah.
do the killing,
yeah.
who has nothing, was never impacted by this mother.
Yes.
And now he's serving
yeah.
a life sentence because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure his family, I'm assuming
I think they're
family,
very upset about
they
that.
They got really upset
yeah.
about that, that their son
right.
is now in prison for the rest of his life due
and,
to a family
yeah.
drama.
And I don't know what his situation is, like because yeah. I feel like he might have some issues himself
okay.
where he was so easily convinced right.
so,
to do this. And, yeah.
So not knowing anything, that would be my biggest
right.
issue.
So people consider her manipulative just
right.
like her
that,
mother.
Right.
Right.
Right. That would be my issue. All right. So what are their colors? What?
All right. So Gypsy Rose, it's actually really hard to read. Usually I don't see inauthentic colors on children. All right. Usually it's flip-flopped around. Gypsy Rose, like, when I look at her as a little kid, there's this famous picture of her mom and her, and she's in a wheelchair, and she's got, like, a wig on, and it's, like, really, really disturbing. Gypsy Rose back then is, like, blue-pink, but it feels so forced on, like, she's forced to be pink aura, meaning she's forced to be little girl, tiny, little, helpless, sweet, naive, innocent, everything's roses and sparkles, and, oh, mate, you know, and like, facing this illness with such a bright, me and my mom will get, you know, inspiration for others, like that kind of thing. Like, it's almost like it's a forced energy that's put on her. And it feels, obviously the mom had to she had to be this way in order to be in this relationship with her mother. You know, when you're a kid, when you're a child, your bond to your caregiver is everything. You'll do anything to fit into how you feel accepted and how you feel, because that's your survival bond. So she formed into what her mom needed her to be. So back then, blue pink, but it does not feel authentic at all. And I can't even tell what this kid is,
okay.
to tell you the truth. That's how creepy the whole situation is. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that with children. I mean, but again, I don't stare at the abuse pictures that much with
right.
other situations. But now Gypsy Rose is straight up turquoise purple, like straight up, like the one, like she definitely found her voice. I feel like she has embraced what this is without labeling it negative or positive in a way. And she feels like she's not a quiet or shy person. Her purple is definitely coming out. And I feel like she's also able to, because this is a lot. She's coming out of prison into a lot of opinions and a lot
right.
of energy and a lot of people having this or whatever to say to her. And I feel like she's like more ready for it than other people would be.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting. And I'm going to get into that
and
more.
It seems like this is going to be something that's going to be split 50-50 here. You're
yes.
either going to love her or you're going to hate her.
You're going to love her, you're going to hate her. My thing is, I think most of us who are listening, it's like she went through something horrific. And it's hard to judge her.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging her. It's just, I still don't trust her.
Okay.
Like, you know, that's my thing. Like, I feel like I don't. There's no negative feelings. It's just I wouldn't leave my kids with her. You know, like I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
But that, again, is most people.
Most people. I wouldn't. But like, I guess it's just kind of like that's how I look at things myself. But from, I think all of us looking at her, it's like, wow. And that's why we're all fascinated by it. We're like, what is, how does that, what was created here and what's going to happen? Because mom, so that Dee Dee who
okay.
got murdered, the mom, she's blue. Here's the deal. Aura colors don't make you good or bad. A lot of people who kind of jump in, jump out of what I do are like, blue means good. Blue people can't be bad. Don't call her blue. She was evil. It's like, no, blue people can totally be evil. It doesn't, aura colors don't, aura colors aren't intentions. They're how you carry out your intentions. So if your intention is to get if your intention is to get attention or to hurt others or to feel a certain way about yourself, her way to do it in a blue aura way is caregiving. Okay. So blue auras are natural caregivers. That's what they are. If you're a blue, you love to take care of people. You like to feed them and help them and be there and da 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 da. Now, if you're a blue aura person with some sick mind, you're gonna caregive your way to nastiness. So she put all her nasty, evil intentions through caregiving. I mean, and I am not a mental health professional at all. I'm just looking at energy. But when I see pictures of Dee Dee, even on the, and I don't want to connect her on the other side. It's too much. It's like in her mind, she to me feels like eat her young. Like it's like they're like Gypsy wasn't a person. Gypsy was just an extension of her. I mean, to me, it's like some sort of sick, quasi narcissistic. I don't even know what that is. There's probably a name for it, but there's something wrong with her psychologically. But she's super blue, which is creepy.
Did she have any other color?
I just see blue. I only see blue on her, and it's really freaking scary. It's like, and also the amount of correctness she feels about herself, like that everything she did, she made it as if like she would absorb other people's pity or you deserve this or what a great mom you are. She would absorb that as her reality. So that became, in lieu of her conscience, other people's opinions that she crafted from her fake caregiving and these fake illnesses and all the pity that came from. She harvested all that and used it as reasons why she could continue to do it, because blues can absorb other people's feelings and thoughts as their own. And she did that completely. So in order to make her continue to feel correct, she had to continue to hurt her kid to continue to get the pity.
Okay.
It's really freaking scary.
That's scary.
I can see, like, with Gypsy Rose, it's very complicated because that's her mom. And she also probably understood, hey, mom is the way she is. She's sick. There's something wrong with her. She doesn't mean to be this way. This is just how she is.
Right.
It's just that how she is killing you. Like, you know, so it's really hard.
And that's all she knew, right?
That's all she knew.
There's no father in the picture.
Yeah, so it's all she knew. So, you know, as a child, she totally went around along with it for survival. And just forcing to go with the story was keeping this kid alive. But, you know, she feels very enmeshed with the story. Like, she knew it was real and knew it wasn't real at the same time. And this created some sort of, I see it in her aura, because, like, you can't really, like, I see a totally different aura as a kid and a totally different aura now. Like, she's got a duplicity in her. A duplicity in her energy. Like, she can be two or more people to deal with life. And she can say one thing and it's true. And say another thing that's opposite, and that's true too. And I don't know what that's called in the mental health field, but it almost feels like a multiple personality thing in order to process or deal with things, like split personalities. But I don't think the split personalities really talk to one another. So I don't really know how that works. Like, the energies feel separate, yet in cahoots. And the other thing is, I get with her.
And this is something you don't usually see.
No.
Right? You don't. Yeah. This is, like, very rare for you to feel.
Yeah, but again, I'm not going to aura. I'm not reading auras at psychiatric facilities, though. Right. So I wonder that would be like. Actually, someone take me along. Like, whoa, like that.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting for me, because I don't have a lot of experience reading people who are like this. But just seeing, and I think, but even if you don't see colors, you're feeling this on her. You feel like a duplicitous nature or something. But also maybe it's not her fault. You know, two things can be true. Like, it's not her fault and she can be a little, you know, duplicitous.
Right.
Okay. Oh, but the thing with her is she's super amazing at absorbing into others what others need her to be. So I feel like a lot of what we're hearing her say now is what she knows we need to hear. I don't know if she thinks it's true. I don't know if she knows what true is.
Right.
I think she definitely knows what we need to hear, though.
Does she have
to garner sympathy?
Well, I assume now she has a team of PR agents and
I don't
like
know.
That
she's got her husband, and I'm going to get into that.
Okay.
You know, with her, lying isn't lying. Lying might be love. Lying's communication. It's like a dynamic that's normal to her. Okay, so her husband. So she's got this husband. He's a special education teacher, I guess. And they hooked up while she was in prison.
Oh.
So he wrote to her. No, he was a teacher and he just wrote to her.
Oh, okay.
And then they just, I think, are they married? Yeah, they're married.
Like, what do you write to someone like that? Hey, I could do murder too. Like, you know, hey, if you need another murderer, call me.
That's a pickup line.
Yeah. I mean, how do you pick someone up? You know,
I don't know.
Like that.
But whatever he said worked. And now they're married. Now, here's the thing with him. He's super green and blue. He's got a weird, like, dad vibe.
Okay.
I don't know. He also feels like he collected her. Kind of like she's a bug in a jar.
Well, that's
I wrote that down.
That's what I was kind of getting at.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Well, kind of like, hey, like, you know, there she is. Like, you know what happened.
Right.
Right? You know that she hired, well, yeah. not hired, but her ex-boyfriend was
like,
a
you're
killer.
Aware of what happened here.
Yeah.
Right. To and the then, last guy, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was green-blue, too.
I think he was super green.
Super green.
Yeah. Husband has a dad vibe. Okay, so it feels like she's his bug in a jar. He's keeping her. You know, here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, she's going to be okay. I don't worry for her. I think she's fine at taking care of herself now. Now she is. I feel like she's got – her turquoise is real strong, so I feel like she's gotten to a place where she's like, yeah, I will – I can go along with something, but I'm not going to let it overtake me anymore. So I don't worry about her that way. Here is my prediction, okay? Here it is, the prediction. And it's as – yeah, okay, so – tons of book media. She's not going to say no to anything for a while. I mean, I can see a whole movie being made out of this. I can see a reality show with her and her husband. Like, oh, Gypsy gets ice cream for the first time. Or Gypsy, I never got to go to a movie because my mom didn't let me see, you know, like that kind of thing. I can totally see like Gypsy reenters reality. And then that might like...
So this is like a TLC show?
Yes. And this might totally like rub up against her inauthentic pink from childhood and trigger her. So I'm a little nervous about that because I can see her being like, oh my gosh, I'm trying, you know, I'm going to Disney World. And last time I went there, it was for the Make-A-Wish thing. I don't know. Like, I can see totally this whole weird crap going on with a bad reality show, books. And so I can see her having a kid.
Okay.
I really see a boy around her, which stresses all of us out. I'm pretty sure we're all stressed out about that. I don't know about her and her husband staying together. Okay. I feel like, but for now...
Will he be going to jail for murder?
I don't think that is going to happen again. I think it's more just kind of like we're all going to see stuff and be like, that's...
Maybe it's something we all shouldn't be watching. I mean, my big question is this guy going to be doing her dirty work?
Well, I don't think,
I want to know.
I don't feel like she's violent or harm or like that. Okay. I really don't.
Okay.
I think she's more just kind of shifty and watching it, there's a lot of red flags. So I don't know if she should be on a reality show and stuff like that, because I think we're going to be seeing a lot of red flags.
Okay.
And it's just maybe just not something we all want to see.
Okay. So here's my prediction.
Oh, your prediction.
Okay. My prediction is that probably this stuff will happen. There are dirty, you know, nasty-minded people out there that want to make money off of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to probably do all these things and offer all these deals.
Yes.
And that's probably true. But my prediction is that I will watch or read none of it. And actually, I will know nothing about it. And then possibly on a future podcast episode, you will tell me what's going on. And I, like you said, I don't hear 80% of what you say. And that will be filed in the I don't hear 80% of what you say about celebrity.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction.
Okay.
So yes. All right. When we come back, we'll do a quick ad. And then, oh, this is a couple I know about. Taylor and Travis.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last year, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. And it makes me feel ready to take on the day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. At this point, my mornings start with AG1. I like to drink AG1 first thing in the morning, which is recommended for optimal nutrition or absorption. I fill up my shaker with extra cold water and add just one scoop of AG1. I shake it up real good, and I'm good to go. If I'm running short on time and I can't mix my AG1 before heading out, I'll just grab one of the travel packs. Each is an individual serving of AG1 that's just easy to mix on the go, helping ensure that I get my daily nutrients no matter what. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/KYA. That's drinkag1.com/KYA. Check it out. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Well, now we're going to talk about Taylor and Travis and the 2024 prediction I have for both of them.
Okay, can we hold out 1 second?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm sure they're a lovely couple.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're wonderful. I mean, there's lovely couple. What are we at? 7 to 8 billion people in the world now. I mean, there's lovely couples. If you go to Calgary, you're going to find love, Calgary, Canada, right? If you go to, you know, Mesa, Arizona, you're going to find lovely people, lovely couples. Yeah. There's couples everywhere.
There are.
There's got to be millions and millions and millions and millions of couples, right?
I know.
Okay. Why are people not sick of... I'm sure... And again, I'm going to preface this. They're the greatest couple ever. Sure. But I'm sick of it. Like, who cares anymore?
I'm sorry,
like,
guys.
So they're great together. Wonderful. Yay. She's happy. He's happy. The Kelseys are happy. Mama Kelsey's happy. Everybody's happy. But let's just move on. There's other people in the world. There's 8 billion of us now. Like... Do you understand? Like, is that anyone feeling that?
I feel like a lot of people just were like, yes, yeah, Scott. Like,
are there any like reporters that get up in the morning and say, I don't want to do
like, I don't care.
Another Travis and Taylor story?
Well, here's...
Is that happening?
Here's your bonus points. Okay. Like, yeah. As you said yourself, yeah. They've replaced the Kardashians.
And that's great. And I'm forever grateful to Taylor and Travis that they have replaced the Kardashians. I don't hear anything anymore about their Kardashians. And that makes me truly happy because, you know, they're that whole family's a disaster.
Okay.
But
that's true.
Yeah. So that's a – all right. So, you know what? I'm on a high vibration.
Yes.
I'm going to take that positivity out of it.
Okay.
But, I mean, all right. Just go.
All right. This won't be long.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think that was my first red rant on the podcast for 2024.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if I did one last episode.
I don't think so. Well – I saw a New Year's Eve picture of them. And then on the MMSF, people did want to know about their update for 2024. So I was like, all right. And then I saw the New Year's Eve picture. And oh my gosh, you got to see this. It's like, I'm showing it to Scott right now. It's okay. Taylor and Travis. Well, and then like one. Mahomes and his wife. Or are they married? And his girlfriend, Brittany? Yeah, they're married.
Are they married?
Right?
Okay. Yeah. All right. You know, this is what I get out of this
Tell
picture.
Us. Tell us what you get on this picture.
That there's a lot of angry Kansas City Chiefs fans. You know, they haven't been doing that well this year. Kelsey's been dropping a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Mahomes been overthrowing a lot of balls.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of balls not going in the right place. And that's what this picture shows me.
Okay.
They're distracted. And because they're distracted, their balls are not going in the right spot.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Scott.
You're
all welcome. Right. Well, all right. So I saw this. And I'll get to that in a second. So just to recap. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you guys are probably like, oh, wait a second. But there's a whole bunch of people.
No, no, no.
And it's like they're Disney World. Like literally this is like it's just like love.
Yes.
And it's sweet.
Yes.
And like, you know, we really connect to her happiness. And we're, you know, it's nice to see nice things happen for nice people. So like that kind of thing.
It's
anyway,
wonderful.
So she's yellow purple.
Right.
Travis is blue purple. Taylor, when I look at her picture, I had to look at recent pictures for all of this. She is in this deep. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like she can't be in this too much longer without making him even more and more a part of her world. Listen, she's yellow. She's a yellow aura. Her world is her system. Her system is her world. Yellow auras, they sometimes get in trouble for moving too fast. It's not that they're moving too fast. It's just that they're trying to implement you in how they already think, which is always like a future system. Like, oh, but I got to move you in here. And if I put you here, then da-da-da-da-da-da. And it can look from an outside person who's not used to yellow aura people is, oh my gosh, like I feel controlled or this is really scary or this is moving too fast or oh my gosh, like I don't have a say in my life anymore. You'd already figured everything out for me. But because Travis has a yellow mom, we've talked about, like he's used to yellow aura women. So this doesn't like freak him out too much. Like, you know, I think she just moves quick and he's okay with it. And she feels him being okay with it. So she's more confident in being herself. I feel like in a lot of other relationships, she had to take a step back. Anyways, Travis, he's purple blue. He looks really swirly right now to me with his aura. Like real swirly. What does that mean? It feels like he's a little bit like, whoa. Like, whoa. Because he leveled up. He leveled up. When we talk about vibrations, like it's hard to think like, hey, how do you get on an even higher vibration than Travis Kelce? You know,
right.
Like he was an NFL player. Da, da, da. Well, he leveled up. And when you level up, you can get a little woozy about it. Like, and then also unsure because he's purple. Like, oh my God, do I want to do this? Do, you know, he can't stay in that level without her system. So I feel like he's feeling himself needing her system and also freaking out that he's needing her system because he's purple. Purples aren't always cool with that. And he does feel like he's struggling a little bit under the microscope. I mean, because this is a microscope. She's used to it. It's more than ever, though, now. It's like 10,000 times magnified than it ever was for him. And I feel like even though he's purple and he can deal with it, he's also kind of blue and it's a lot. And it can just feel a little – it's funny because you feel like the whole world's available to them. And it is in a lot of ways. like, obviously. Right. Like, the privilege is a lot. Sure. But it's also very confining in some ways. Okay. Like, you can't mess up or say the wrong thing.
Well, I have a couple questions.
Okay. I don't mean for people to feel sorry for anybody.
No. These are the last two people on earth that I feel sorry for. I mean, literally, I have a feel sorry for people list, and it goes. There's all 8 billion people are on the list, and they're the last two. Okay, so anyway. Now, my question is, like, now, Bree put me onto a song the other day that Taylor wrote called Mastermind.
I love that song.
Yeah, it was okay.
No, it's so good.
It really is good.
Yeah, guys. Everyone should go listen to
it. It's one of my favorite
songs.
I don't want the Swifties mad at me. Okay, basically.
I love that song. Okay.
But could this Travis Kelce character.
Yeah.
Is he now. Is it. Like, he doesn't call any shots anymore. It would be impossible. Because if
that's basically what I'm saying.
From a Red Aura perspective, yeah, for this guy.
He shouldn't be.
It would be, impossible because if he decided to, let's say, break up with her.
Oh, my God.
He would be the most hated man on earth.
And he knows this.
Right.
That's terrifying.
So it would all have to be part of Taylor's plan
to
either decide to keep him
or
let him go.
Yes.
There's no way out of this for him.
And
it would be impossible.
And that's literally what I'm feeling on him.
Okay.
And he, I don't think
I felt it.
You felt
it
too.
Well, just logically.
He doesn't, but that's how red auras pick up spirit information through your logic. But he doesn't want to leave her.
Right.
I think we've all been in a place, and especially if you're purple. Like, where it's not like you want to leave something, it's just you also know that you can't. And that situation's really freaking stressful. Like, it's like, I don't want to go, but also I know I can't. I feel trapped. Oh, my God, I feel trapped. I want to run. I can't run. Like, that right there is terrifying. And I feel like he's feeling that.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean,
he's really feeling it. I feel like he is freaking out a bit. Like,
I can see that.
I do feel like he's freaking out a bit. He's in really deep.
Yeah.
He's in deep. And I feel like he's feeling it. And and two things can be true. You can feel like you're in deep and freak out and still feel like in love and everything. Because she feels real confident in the whole thing, like her energy. And he feels like he's like taking it. Okay, what am I doing? Like what? And I think he also has perspective. Like, listen, I can't be a football player forever.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's an old. I think they're. Are they in the 30s? They're
I have no idea.
I think he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
I know he's been around in the league a long time. So he probably only has another season or two.
Yeah. Like, this is. It's a smart move to like think about what's next. And this is a great. This is the next. But yeah, all that. So that's what I got. So in the New Year's Eve picture, Taylor feels like a really strong yellow, really secure, ready to make changes into her life to long-term incorporate Travis.
All right, now, I am going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Go back to that New Year's Eve picture.
Okay.
All right. Now, I was talking about them missing footballs.
Yeah.
But what? Here's what maybe people really want to know.
Okay.
And I don't really care, but I think other people do.
Okay, Scott.
There's another girl in the picture. I think you said it was Patrick Mahomes'
Brittany.
Wife?
Yeah.
Okay, and I know who Patrick Mahomes is. Yeah. Okay. I want to know, first of all, let's take Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
What does he think about all this? He's a very competitive football player.
Yes.
He's maybe the best player in the entire league.
Yes.
Okay. And again, I know there's going to be other fans of teams that are going to tell me he's not. But
right.
He could be the best player in the league.
Right.
And they're not doing that great this year. Does he feel like this is a sideshow?
Okay. Patrick has a blue-purple aura. Literally, in this picture, and in other ones I've seen too, because, you know, we'll watch the games and stuff, he seems insecure.
Okay.
Which is crazy because you're a quarterback. So, you're, like, your ego should honestly be numero uno, like, you have to. I don't know how you do that. But anyways, he feels insecure. And that's what I get. And he feels like he's out of control. He lost his grip. He feels like he lost his grip.
Wow.
That's what it does feel like to me. Even in this picture, he just feels to me like, okay, like, I don't know how much he had to drink or whatever to like, let's just go. I got to be in this picture. Like, not in a bad way, more just, you know, like when you don't feel like you fit in a situation and you're like, okay, what do I got to do to be comfortable here? Like that. Yeah, I get that vibe on him.
But that's at that party.
At the party. So maybe that's unfair.
Like, so what I'm saying is, like, remember when we did, you know, Tom Brady's come up a lot on the show.
Yeah.
And I think what is he? Green? He's green, right?
Green, he's blue.
He's green, blue.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, his last couple of seasons, he was throwing the tablets, right? And he was smashing things.
Yeah.
And he was wearing the inauthentic red. I think he might be still wearing the inauthentic red, but it showed on the field.
Yes.
And this is the same thing with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
we
I
have watched
picture.
A lot of Chiefs games this year. Because one, they've been on, and they've been showing Taylor, and Bree has, you know, been watching with us, whatever. But also Patrick Mahomes this season, he was a very beloved quarterback.
Yeah.
And this season, he's not so beloved.
Yeah.
Because I think he was yelling and screaming at the refs one game. I think it was actually against the Bills. And game, and then you know he got fined by the league for his behavior.
Okay,
so maybe is he now wearing an inauthentic color?
No, he just looks like two blue and purple together. Like you know, like when a little kid yells at everybody and then they go cry right after. Like you know, like if you've been around a child, they're like, and you did this, and then you did this, and then you did this, and then they're like really angry and they're yelling and you're mean, and then they just go and they like and they just start crying.
Yeah.
That's what he feels like to me.
Okay.
Like, he feels like he obviously isn't crying, but he's doing the temper tantrum thing, but it's emotional.
And maybe that's coming out, like, you know, he did it against the refs, or he was, like, screaming at the refs, and maybe he really wants to scream it at somebody else.
At Taylor?
Well, yeah.
At Travis?
Maybe.
Taylor Travis.
Because they're like, buddies, and now she's on the scene.
He just feels like he got knocked down a peg.
Yeah.
You know, he lost his grip on the whole thing.
So, like...
The vibe's off.
Yeah. Like, he'd never say this in public, obviously.
Right.
But maybe he's thinking this is not good for the team.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's go to the
Brittany.
Wife. Okay. Brittany.
Brittany. So she's red and purple.
Okay. So so that's going to be tough for a red purple the bat, right? Because a red purple wants to be the top dog.
Yeah.
And if, you know, Taylor Swift comes in, there's no one more top in the world than Taylor Swift right now.
Yeah. And she's real. And Taylor Swift's like real likable.
Right.
I think poor Brittany's been dealing, like, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I don't think she's been likable with
I think people, the fans and stuff don't like her.
Yeah, I think they take Patrick's
Yeah,
side.
She's a little kind of like, well, she's red-purple, so it's behavior that we would put up with in a man. But in society, we don't really put up with that in a woman. Because she's kind of like confident. She's like, my husband, da-da-da-da-da, you know, like whatever. She's kind of like, I'm here, whatever, get over it. Like that's kind of her. A guy, nobody would bat an eye. They'd be like, oh, good for him. But a girl, they're like, oh, that's terrible. So I think they tried to make a whole feud between her and Taylor. The thing with Brittany is I feel like she knows what's going on. She's like, okay, got it.
Right.
Like,
I'll just play the game.
I'm playing the game. I'm totally not going to go like against this. Like this, it would be stupid. Like she's got a business mindset too. Like, and I think she's telling her husband, like, don't be stupid.
Right.
Come on. Like this is an opportunity for us too. So just get on board, get in the pictures, hang out. Be part of it. Don't be silly. You know, like be pleasant. And I think it's harder for Patrick to do that, honestly, believe it or not, because he's more kind of like blue purples have a hard time faking it. And, you know, they can show up and do it, but it's like his heart might not be in it. But Brittany to me feels like she's like, and also it's kind of like the glimmer, like the sparkle, the spotlight. She can handle, like, she's like, all right, let's do it. Come on. You know, this is fun opportunity. Mm. But also she knows where her place on I guess the pecking order is or whatever. Yeah, and she knows, she's like, oh no, I'm not trying to get, there's no way. She knows. Don't go after Taylor.
Yeah.
She knows that. And I think Taylor honestly put her under her wing. Cause Taylor is a girl's girl. And I feel like Taylor is like, listen, there's honey, I know everybody comes at you. We're going to squash anything. We're good. I'll protect you. Don't worry. Like that kind of thing.
Well,
what? You just rolled your eyes at me.
This is all very fascinating. And I'm sure pretty much everyone, except for the Chiefs fans, who are probably fuming right now.
Yeah.
Unless they win, then they'll like her again. But other than that, everyone, you know.
Well, here's my prediction.
Yeah. All right, what's your prediction?
So my prediction is, even though that didn't sound very positive, I think it really actually is. And all this stress Travis is going through actually means that he's coming to a decision. Okay? And all this stress that he's going through is actually purple-blue. Let's normalize having all these weird thoughts for purple-blue people, because that's what we do when we're all like, oh, I don't know, should I? Am I trapped? Like, I think he's working through stuff because I feel like this is the year the commitment's going to be made. And I feel like Taylor broke her pattern. Travis seems like this is working for them. And I can see him totally proposing, but and here's my special prediction. Okay. I really need to know if this is going to happen because I feel him working with his family about making a decision about this. Okay. So I don't know if that's just him talking to his family about it or the ring that he presents her will have something to do with family.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what that means.
So you're predicting engagement this year.
Yeah. With some sort of Kelsey tie back with some sort of, there's something with the Kelsey family involved. And it felt specific to the ring, but I don't know if that's, sometimes that could be like a symbol for me. Like, do they get engaged on at his house or something like that? But like, I get some Kelsey family situation entangled in it.
All right. Here is my prediction.
Okay.
It's not as bold as yours.
All right. That was a bold one.
Yeah, that's pretty bold. Mine is that we will be hearing about them pretty much every single day in 2024. And my other prediction is the Kardashians are out.
They're all out. Right. Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, maybe one of the most unfunny comedians of all time, Pete Davidson.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
You know what I really need this New Year's? I need a wardrobe refresh. Getting dressed has become a chore and a bore.
You know what I really don't need this New Year's?
Yeah.
I don't need to go to the mall. I don't need to go to stores anymore. I'm not doing it. Why don't you just go to, like, Stitch Fix?
I was thinking about Stitch Fix because Stitch Fix is the best way to shop new styles and brands. I think of them as my style partner. My stylist has learned all about my tastes, and they collaborate with me on looks that I love without breaking the bank. So this is what you do. You simply share your preferences, sizes, and budget, and then Stitch Fix sends you 5 items in a fix right to your door. And you can try everything on at home. You keep what you like, and you send back the rest, and shipping and returns are always free. They have over 1,000 brands and styles, so no matter what season of life you're in, Stitch Fix has you covered. So thanks, Stitch Fix. They just get me, and they'll get you too. Try today at stitchfix.com/KYA, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/KYA, stitchfix.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right, so next I'm going to do Pete Davidson, and then I'm going to talk about Tom Holland and Zendaya.
Okay, so let me just quickly get this off my chest.
Okay.
I don't know who that second couple is. That's fine. I don't care. But this Pete Davidson guy, I don't get him.
Yeah.
And I think I might have already said this one. Yeah. First of all, he's not funny. Right. And him and – he's Saturday Night Live, right? And
yeah.
Him and Seth Meyers are probably the least two funny people. You know, 8 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
And I have them ranked as the last two in
really?
Terms of funny. Pete Davidson is not funny. And Seth Meyers is not
funny. I thought you liked that King of Staten Island movie. Did you like that one?
That was okay, but he wasn't funny in it.
Right.
He was, like, depressing.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's
yeah.
What, yeah.
He wasn't
getting into.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. I know this guy is like a legend among women or something.
Yeah.
And he gets all of the women.
Right.
Is he with Zendaya? Is that one of the
women? No. Tom and Zendaya are different.
Oh, okay, fine.
Separate.
But he gets all the women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
How? He's not funny. Like, what is it? What
there's
is
like,
this?
Yeah.
Magic
okay.
powers? Spells. Okay. He's doing spells.
Well, people have like a theory about
yeah,
him.
Know,
yeah. All right. Anyways.
All right, yeah.
Well, Pete Davidson, literally nobody asked. Nobody on the MMSF. None of y'all asked.
So this was our own throw-in?
This is honestly my thing.
This is your thing. Okay.
I'm, out of everyone I'm talking about today, this guy is the one I have the most energy towards.
Okay.
And I'm actually really concerned for him. Okay. So. Pete Davidson. Let's start. He's, and I'm going to do my prediction. He's a green-purple aura. Okay. What does this mean? Green-purples. I've talked about this before. Green-purples, like, in the spotlight, I feel like in the industry spotlight, have, it's harder for them. It's really hard to be green. Greens are very smart. Purples are very dynamic. Greens like to create systems. They're visionaries. But when they're green-purple, their medium is people or humor or the entertainment industry or visuals or something like that. So it's like an artistic way to be an engineer brain. And, you know. So with Pete Davidson, he feels really, really intelligent to me. And also this need to create with the world that is part of his system and part of his engagement and part of I feel like he has to actually real life test out his own issues in real living color. And so right now when I grabbed a recent picture of him, he was actually in the headlines because like his shows were mysteriously canceled. Okay.
His comedy
shows? Yeah. Some comedy shows like the day of, I think even, which is kind of like, okay. What, you know,
so
what's going on?
He's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. And an actor and he trashed his trailer, I guess, on a set of a movie he's making, which is really like, come on, grow up.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's annoying. You know, somebody has to clean that up. You know, it's annoying. It is. So right now there's just a lot of darkness in his aura. He has major edges to his energy, a lot of darker colors. It feels like a pit of despair. It feels like a void. It feels violent. It feels empty. I rarely see a black aura. Rarely. His aura isn't black. It's just that it's so dark. It look like parts of it, the green are like as green as you can get without being black, or like, as purple like as you can get
foresty
without
green.
Yeah, or purple as you can get without being black. Like, it stresses me out. It's like the vibe is like a vortex of depression, and he's dealt with a lot of addiction issues. I said this when we were talking about other people, and you know, I worry the most about green purples who are addicts. Only because they have convinced themselves that this is how life is and this is the only way I can deal with it. And they're really good at convincing other people that too. And it's really hard to therapy them out of it because they have a hard time. Because, you know, greens in general, I call it the 10 commandments of the green. They find their own way that life is. I discovered it. It's only this way. And once they've solidified it and stamped it and sealed it, it'll never change. So if a green person who's purple too, and then they're kind of got a self-destructive thing going on, hey, that could work the other way for green purples. And then life is like, that's why the CEO greens or the guru greens or the ones that touch everything is gold greens, those people. That's great when their 10 commandments of green work out. When you're a 10 commandment of green guy, like Pete Davidson, you've already made it pessimistic. And then he crafted, through his system, a whole career around this pessimism, depression, darkness, void, and all that. So it really, he stresses me out, and I am so scared for him. I feel like I see this trajectory with him where we're all, where something happens that's tragic, and we're all like, oh, how did we not catch that? And it's like, it's all he talks about.
Didn't he crash into a house?
Yes.
Okay.
He's been crashing into things. He has major drug issues. God. He goes rehab in and out, like whatnot. I feel like if it weren't for his family, he like literally wouldn't be here. His mom is super blue. She's got blue aura and she's kind, a good person. And I feel like he finds his tether in her. He like that's the anchor to him staying in this world. He doesn't have his own tether. He doesn't have his own anchor. He has to find it environmentally. That's why he's always with another woman. And I feel like I think honestly an older woman would be better for him. Like more like mature, older, maternal woman might be better for him than a younger one. He really doesn't have his own anchor. So that stresses me out. The rehab visits, he frequents rehab a lot. Just to try to almost just not even fix him, just kind of push him back a little bit from the edge. You know what I mean? But he's always walking towards it. Like it's like one of those battery powered toys. It's like, I can push you away from the edge, but then you just keep going once I put you down. He's actually in a relationship right now with Madeline Klein. She's Sarah from Outer Banks. Cause you were forced into watching Outer Banks. She's the rich kook.
Okay.
Yeah.
If anyone wants.
Anyways, that's who he's dating right now.
She's the rich kook.
That's if you watch Outer Banks, that all made sense. But she's really yellow and she's grounded. Okay. So I feel like she might be trying. It's just like, it's so, he's like the type of person like where you can't fix him because he wouldn't have a career anymore.
Right, right.
Okay. So the second you fix him, he doesn't have a career and he knows this. So to like make money and keep things going and keep whatever he's got, he's hanging out in this vibration and he doesn't feel like he can leave it.
Okay.
If he left this destructive, horrific, horrific vibration, he wouldn't have a career anymore. And honestly, that's probably true. Because he's crafted every role he does, every stand-up, every joke, every SNL skit. It's about him being some sort of edgy, voidy person that we're all nervous about.
Okay.
So anyway, so...
Well, that makes sense.
Here's my prediction.
All right.
For Pete Davidson. Darker work. Okay. More depth. Crossing the line with jokes and also real-life implications. I feel like art will imitate life and life will imitate art. And we will not know the difference for Pete. And he won't know it either. His jokes are real, you know, and real life is a joke, basically. But it's a sad joke and it's a scary joke. He can't live in an illusion. It's like he has to keep the jokes real, which makes me nervous. So the darker the jokes are, the like that's what's happening, guys. Like, so this, I feel like it's a cry for help that he's crafted into his profession. Like his profession is a cry for help. And I feel like he's also immortalized and put on pedestals other comedians who went down really dark roads and those are like his icons, and I feel like he wants to emulate them and be them, and I feel like that's what we're gearing up for.
All right.
And I feel and that's I hate bold. I don't like that prediction. I feel like he's got his family, so I feel like that's good. And I feel like relationships, actually, you know, he gets a lot of crap for always being with a new girlfriend, but I think it keeps him okay, if that makes sense.
All right, well, here's my prediction.
Okay.
I predict that he will be with three, count them, three new girlfriends this year. They will all be from hit shows on Netflix. I also feel if Travis messes up and decides to get out of that yellow box, Pete Davidson is waiting for Taylor.
Taylor?
Just wait. He's going to make a play.
Would fix this.
Yes. I'm not saying that they will date, but Pete Davidson will make a play for Taylor Swift if Travis Kelce botches the engagement.
How fascinating would that? I feel like she'd fix him.
Yeah, could.
Immediately. Yeah. He'd live like one of her cats.
If this comes true, we actually are going to just change the title of the show. It's going to be Know Your Role with Scott. All right. All right. We got one more couple here for this segment.
Okay.
Tom Holland and Zendaya.
Zendaya. All right. You don't know these people.
I don't know who
don't worry
people
about
are
it. All right. Tom Holland was like one of the Spider-Men. Okay.
Which one? There's like seven of them.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Okay. And Zendaya was, you know, in The Greatest Showman.
Yes.
You know, the...
I like that movie. That
yeah. Good. It's a great movie.
Yeah, she was in that.
You know, the pink-haired acrobat who does the acrobatics with her brother?
Yes.
That's
the
Zendaya.
The one that was with...
Oh, Zac Efron.
Okay.
That's her.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
She's in a bunch of other stuff, too. But that's what you're going to remember her from.
So far, we...
I just told... That's just basically how Scott knows people.
Okay. So she's the acrobat.
Yeah.
And he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All right.
But she was also in Spider-Man.
Well, that's interesting, because, like...
Well, she was in Spider-Man, too.
Oh, okay.
She was...
Well, maybe that's how they fell in love, because she does, like, Spidey moves, and she does Spidey moves.
Oh, wow. But, no, she's also from Euphoria.
Oh.
And she was, like, a Disney actress or kid actress in something. I forget.
All right.
Anyways. Tom Holland is green and blue, and I just think he's delightful. And I
so this is a nice couple.
Because the Pete Davidson one was so dark, now you get a positive one, okay, guys?
Okay.
All right, Tom Holland, he's delightful. He's green and blue. I took a recent picture of him from some interview. I mean, he's just so, like, secure and smart and confident. And and Zendaya, she's like, I call it floaty purple and blue. Like, her purple is just like real, it kind of, it floats. It's like above all the BS. That's where her aura lives. Like, yeah, whatever, man. Like that. I can't do that. And she's real good at getting into roles. And she's such a great actress. And we believe her. I mean, she can be like any actress. And she just really, you know how, like, you always say, Scott, like, actors always play the same actor. I feel like Zendaya doesn't. Like, she really can be different.
Yes,
different
I
energies.
Feel there's only a few actor or actresses that actually could, that are not playing themselves.
Yes.
Most of the time, they're just
themselves.
That's him. And they just happen to need that person.
Yeah.
And that's why they're. Yes.
Yeah, but not her.
But not
I feel
her.
Like
okay.
She, like, really, and that's her floaty purple. Like, she can really meld into her roles. And Tom, in his recent pick, like I said, he feels really secure, confident in his ability to communicate, his own direction in life. Zendaya, in a recent pick I saw of her, she feels really goofy and fun in a fun way, feels really safe with Tom, feels like she can be herself, really trusts completely, feels excited about things, also okay with taking less work, but work that maybe less work, but work that's more quality. So because they're a couple, this is interesting because it's easier to read them as one person because they totally have soulmate vibes. They're very connected and they feel like really old souls, both of them. So the thing with them is work is work and life is private. So they've said a lot of this kind of here and there anyhow. They're very private about their lives, but the way that they consciously make the boundaries, because they could be everywhere. They could be very hot, you know, the couple that everyone's talking about. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, they had a fight. Oh, this happened. Oh, that happened. You know, like Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. They could totally be like that, but they're not, because they're relationships for themselves. And that's not for everybody else. Now, here's the deal. They do feel like they have a commitment already. Okay. Now, when I read people personally, they feel married. But when I personally read people who feel married, and if you've had a reading with me, you know what I'm saying, because I've probably said this to you, feeling married doesn't mean you sign the paperwork. It means that you just feel married to me. And sometimes I'll read people who are married and they don't feel married, and that's kind of a problem. So the paperwork really has nothing to do with it, but they do feel married, like they have a commitment together. It's funny because, like, everybody is saying, did they get married? That's always like their speculation. Did they get married and they're not telling us? Well, I feel like they have some sort of commitment, and whether it's on paper or not, they have that. What else? Okay. Oh, my prediction is they've more speculation about their living situation and them kind of staying out of LA and maybe even the US completely and spending more time in other countries. life outside of that. So I feel more that. I also feel them more producing stuff together. Zendaya producing things, Tom producing things, and them producing something together that feels like a collective effort that helps everybody. So positive work that they create, they co-create together. So I feel like them working together, and if they're not married, they're going to be, but they feel married. Okay. So
all right.
They feel like they share grocery money. You know what I mean? Like that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my prediction.
Okay.
I don't know who these people are. They seem like a lovely couple. They seem like they have nice floaty energy.
Yeah.
I wish them the best.
I do too.
I mean, I don't really care, but I hope they do well.
They seem really nice.
All right. I guess we have one more we're going to do. We'll take a quick break. And this is something, you know, I put on my vision board many years ago. I would never watch the show again. It's called The Bachelor.
I know.
I don't know if anyone's heard of it or even anyone knows about it or watches it.
Yeah.
We saved them for last because we figured nobody cares
anymore.
We don't
think anybody cares.
We don't. But
there
we'll
was
do
some
a
little, drama.
Little
there
Bachelor drama
yeah.
when we get back.
It's a new year. It's a great time to start a new self-care routine. Well, Undaria Algae Body Butter is a part of my personal body care routine in 2024. I actually have been using it since 2023. I love Undaria Algae Body Butter because it makes my skin feel smooth, less like crepey, super hydrated. I get out of the shower and I just slather it all over me. It feels amazing. My skin just drinks it. And at this point, I've been noticing my skin looks bouncier. And to me, it feels more refreshed. And it also smells amazing. The body butter has a thick, really rich texture that feels fantastic. It's made with ingredients normally reserved for your face, like Undaria seaweed and ceramides. It transforms dry, crepey skin to smooth, soft, and supple skin. I mean, I see this happening every day when I use it. I really connect with Osea's clean, seaweed-based approach to skin and body care. Over 27 years of seaweed-infused products, safe for your skin and the planet, clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. And you never have to choose with Osea between your values and your best skin. So start the new year fresh with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. And right now we have a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to Osea, O-S-E-A, Malibu.com and use code KYA for 25% off. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right. So, we try not to talk about The Bachelor anymore, but there was such Bachelor drama this week. And on the MMSF thread, everybody wanted to hear about it. So,
all right.
So here
this
we go.
This was actually ranked on the thread.
This was. So two things happened. There was some drama with Caitlin Bristow. And there was drama with Rachel Lindsay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Caitlin Bristow, I know. She's on the show. She's been on the show. You've been on her podcast.
Twice. Yeah.
So.
And I'll say right now, I'm biased because I love her.
Yeah, there's a bias there.
I love her. I'm biased. I know her.
Okay.
Like, we'll DM and stuff. Like, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, and I know earlier in the year, I think she had a breakup. Is that?
Yeah, so she broke up from Jason. They broke up. They were engaged. So, you know, here's the thing. Caitlin's pink and purple. Right now, in her recent pictures, and I tell her this to her face, and I think last time I talked to her, like, you know, her purple's real ragged right now, and her pink is really, like, trying to cling on, like she's trying.
Right.
What does that mean? It means that she's not in her joy bubble. She, you know, pinks need to be kind of in a joy bubble in order to get through life. Meaning they like to have fun and have their moments and have their nice time and have their little, you know, memories and where they like feel like life is magical and they're separated from the nonsense and it just goes over their head. They're in the moment, but she's purple too. And she's feeling everything right now really strong. And basically what happened was, I think, like, it's been the continued fallout from the breakup because people just can't get over that they broke up, you know, and whose fault was it and blah, 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 and this and that. And there's a lot of blaming Caitlin for the whole thing. Okay. All right.
And they broke up.
They broke up a while ago.
So why is I mean, first of all, I don't know why anyone outside of that. I mean, this is just me.
Yeah.
If you don't know them, why do you care? Well, I mean, is that like...
Because what happened was like, she had this like New Year's Eve party, which is so pink. So obviously she was trying, you know, like, I'm going to be pink.
Get the pink.
Yeah, it was like a 1920s new... And she put it all on social media because, you know, she's pink. Okay. Yeah. And
I think that we might have to look into that. Okay. You know, if you throw a 1920s party... Usually there's something going on. I want to see if there's a correlation between people who throw the 1920s flappers parties and if there's something going wrong with them.
Like, I think about it. Yeah. Let's all just take a moment to reflect.
Yeah, if you're throwing that kind of party.
I think that happens on Housewives a lot.
Something's going on in your life that's not right.
That's interesting.
That's my theory. That's my thing.
You know what? Yeah.
There's no research to back that up.
To be determined, but fascinating topic.
Exactly.
Anyhow, okay. Well, what happened was she had a 1920s New Year's Eve party, and Zach Clark was there, and there was some video of her cozying up to Zach Clark. Of course, you don't know who Zach Clark is.
Oh, no. Yes, I do.
Okay.
He's the guy that sings the Tracy Chapman song?
No. That's Zach Brown?
No.
And that could even be wrong. No. Zach Clark was... Zach Clark is who she was cozying up to. So, of course, you know who Zach Clark is. Tayshia Adams was, you know, the Bachelorette. They did it in quarantine, and it was like at La Quinta Inn, and we all watched it because there's nothing else to watch.
Yeah, there was like this really disturbing scene, I recall, when they were in like a cold bath together.
They're in a fountain.
Or something, and they had to stay in the cold fountain for like an extended period of time. And whoever... stayed in the longest.
We're talking about two different things. I thought you were talking about what I thought you were going to talk about, but you weren't. But anyways, Tayshia Adams.
But is that true?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There was a scene in Bachelor World, before my vision board, where they were in a tub of cold water. And the Bachelorette, or the Bachelor and the contestants, and the way you won was if you stayed in that cold water the longest.
I don't remember.
How you won the rose or whatever.
Was that with Tayshia?
That's how people decide if they're in love. See, that's the problem with the show. Okay,
this is going to be a lot of romance. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't, maybe it wasn't.
I thought you were going to say Zach Brown because he was like, Zach Brown, oh my God, you're getting me all messed up. Zach Clark, because anyways, Tayshia Adams picked Zach Clark and they got together for a while. Zach Clark
was the winner.
Yes, he was so sweaty.
Yes, he sweated a lot.
I can't ever get that out of my head.
Well, he was probably, I don't know, that would be, I can't say that.
Anyways, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know where you're going. Can I just get through this?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Tayshia and Caitlyn hosted The Bachelor and Bachelorette together for a couple seasons after the whole Chris Harrison fiasco. Yeah, they're friends. Okay. And now, so Caitlyn was seen cozying up to her ex at her party, Zach Clark. So everybody loses their mind over it. And Caitlyn doesn't just get, like, hate. She gets, like, vicious, vicious hatred from the internet. Like, I would say it is nastier than what most people get. Like, the hatred that she...
Because she's pink, you're saying.
Because she's pink. Yes. Because, and everything's her fault when you're pink. You know what I mean? Like, everything's your fault. You know, because it's... yes. So I feel like this is a pink issue for Caitlyn.
Well, I think I think for her, it's a pink issue.
Yeah.
For the other people writing the hate, I think that's another issue.
That's such an issue.
They have to do the shadow work for that.
Yeah.
Because if you, I mean, and this
she
is
She basically wrote this in a post.
Who did? Oh, she did?
Yeah. She's like, get better.
This is my, all right, I'm going to protect the pink here.
All right, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to protect Caitlyn and the pinks here.
Yes.
And everyone on social media.
Yes.
If you don't know the person and you take the time to write a nasty comment about them or who they're dating or their relationship or anything, you have to do shadow work.
Yes.
Because there's a button. It's called unfollow or follow, whatever. And just hit that button. There's no reason why you should even be there in the first place.
Yeah.
But if you're actually going to take the time to write the comment, nasty comment, do the shadow work. And vice versa. If you were going to write a very incredible comment of like love for that person, you might also want to do shadow work that way too. Because it does go both ways, but the hate one is worse.
It is worse.
Because it's like real negative.
It's so nasty. And pinks get it so bad. If we talk about any pinks, like Brittany or Pamela Anderson or Cardi B, like all these pinks get so much more crap, I feel, than like other people get. And everybody gets crap, but they get like, it gets really weird and almost like personal.
Like Caitlyn did it to them. Yeah, and that's what
it's really weird.
They gotta do the shadow work.
It's like, but it's, I think with pink auras, it's even, And I also get with pink, they also won't say like sorry, or they won't try to make it better for you either because they're pink. They're like, well, wow, like,
and,
you know.
And just getting into it, this, again, this is a 1920s party.
Yeah.
How do we know they weren't, you know, what is this? I mean, how do we know?
Just, I don't know. Just friends. Maybe, I mean, other people may have more info than I did. I just saw a video where she had his arm around him. Like, okay, whatever. You know, she's also a cuddly person.
Are they still together?
Her and Jason?
No, I know they broke up.
No.
Zach and...
I don't even think they're together. Oh. I think it's just like... I didn't look into it too much, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I just was getting... My angle with this was more like that she is getting attacked really bad. Like really, really bad. And I feel like with Tayshia, she hasn't even... my prediction is...
Okay, what's the prediction? All right, what's the prediction?
Tayshia might have something to say about this, which will even... fuel up more hatred towards Caitlyn. Actually, I should write Caitlyn this. My prediction is like the hatred might get way too much for Caitlyn, and she might be advised to take a break from all this stuff just for a little bit, which I think is healthy anyways.
That's good advice.
And I think she'd probably do that on her own anyhow. So anyways, it just feels like it's bad.
Well,
for her.
All right. I mean, I guess I can make a prediction.
Okay.
I'm going to predict that people will not leave Caitlyn Bristow alone no matter what she does.
Yeah.
They are going to harass her. She could be the best person, the worst person in the world. They're going to bother her.
Yeah.
Because that's my prediction.
Yeah, and it just sucks because, like, when I think that's part of the Bachelor thing.
Yeah.
Like they, and it's part of the Bachelor thing, too. Like, you actually gain relevancy when people hate you.
Right.
Which is weird.
Yeah, because think about it. Like, Caitlyn, I know that one. Yeah. I know that Bachelorette, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know when, you know, I can't remember any of the others. I mean, a few here and there.
But she, like, really tried.
But she actually broke out of it. Out of it, where the rest are still, like, kind of, like, in that incest pool.
Like, you don't have to have watched The Bachelor to, like, know who she is. And she actually really tries, like, on her podcast and stuff. Like, she really tries, like, positivity and self-help and making people feel good and stuff. So I feel bad about that. But in the Bachelor world, when they come in at you, it's because they want to see your demise.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the next couple.
Another Bachelor?
Yeah, so Rachel Lindsay, who is the first Black Bachelorette, married the person that she chose on the show, Brian Absolow.
All right, and I don't know if you did this in a post.
Okay.
But I do recall you saying that they would never last.
Oh, okay.
That they were not.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was a very long time ago.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And again, I don't know if you put it on Instagram or you just told me in passing, but I do remember you saying that this couple will not make it.
Yeah, that was four years ago.
You could, you know, the audience could believe me on that or not believe me, but 100% you told me that.
Yeah, I remember it was a hard season for me to watch because it just didn't feel, I was like, is this real? Like that. Anyways, they broke up. They're getting divorced. Okay. So Rachel Lindsay, you also might know her. She like the whole part of the Chris Harrison situation.
Yeah, that was like the height of
the whole, like, the Bachelor was falling apart and all that.
That was the end of the Bachelor.
Yeah. And I think she was working for Entertainment News or something. And I don't think she does that anymore. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So she's red and purple. Right now she feels like really torn, upset. And also, like, it feels to me with her, she has the mindset to use this to gain more relevancy. Like, she understands how the game, because she really was, I feel like you call it the Bachelor life cycle.
Yeah.
And she was sputtering at the end of that.
Right.
And I feel like this might have put her back a little bit in it.
Yeah.
resurgence.
Yeah. So she's at the end of the, she's at the part of the cycle where she's now probably buying followers and comments to keep
in the Bachelor life cycle.
Yeah, the life
totally.
Cycle. Yeah.
But now this might bring her back
to
this.
Okay.
And then Brian Absolow, he's green indigo. He's actually a chiropractor. He's suing for like spousal support, which he's going to get crap for, but I'm going to tell you something. He moved his practice from wherever the heck he was to where she needed to be in LA so she could do her Bachelor life cycle things. And so, you know, I mean, I can't exactly say, I feel like he's like, listen, I missed opportunities. I missed time. I missed growth of my practice in one spot. You know, like, I think, you know, I'm like, I don't see a problem with that, honestly. But anyways, people are going to come after him, I think. Anyways, my prediction for them.
Okay.
Rachel gets more relevant again.
Really?
Yeah, she hits back into the life cycle. She might even like they might stick her like a little anchor position on some sort of entertainment thing or whatever. You know, they stick her, they throw her back in.
Maybe she goes back to paradise.
Maybe. That's what I mean. She's back in the cycle.
Okay.
They start reusing her. You know, she's heartbroken.
Right.
She's red purple. Red purples have a hard time expressing vulnerability to the audience. People usually don't feel real bad for red purple women. This will make everybody feel bad for her now. So everyone's like, oh, and then that vulnerability, like, we pity you. You're allowed to host, I don't know, a Bachelor special or something.
Okay.
I can see her doing another book, too. She already has a book, but I can see her having another book about breaking up or something.
I'm sure.
Go ahead, Red Rant the Bachelor.
I mean, is this incest at this point?
A little bit.
Could this be considered incest?
It's a little incestual.
Like, if Zach Brown...
sure.
Caitlin or Zach Clark, whatever, gets with Caitlin.
Yeah.
That's incest at this point.
It's a little gross, right?
That's gross.
Yeah.
This is incest.
Everyone's kissed everybody.
Yeah, everyone at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It just feels too incestual. If Rachel goes back to the paradise and then starts hooking up again.
Yeah.
It's just a case of incest at this point. She could be arrested in some states for this. You know, these Bachelor contestants better be careful. They go to certain states, you know, like Mississippi or something.
Right.
They're going to be arrested.
Okay.
Like for
incest?
Having relationships.
Bachelor incest?
With family members.
Ew.
And, all right, so I got to make a prediction.
All right, prediction.
All right, I predict that, she's going to try to break out of the cycle.
Yeah.
For a little while, she's going to break out of the cycle, but then she's going to go right back into the cycle. And by the end of the year, she's going to be buying Instagram followers
once again. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that is the 2024 Auriscape Trajectory Predictions episode. And we are so glad that you spent some time with us today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.